Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Thursday, March 27th, 2014. Now, tonight we see that there are some legal maneuverings going on Capitol Hill regarding NSA reforms. Steve Watson reports that anti-NSA congressmen are being intentionally cut out of a debate on a surveillance bill. The legislation, which would see significant alterations to the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that's what we always refer to as FISA, will now be primarily overseen by the chamber's Intelligence Committee instead of the Judiciary Committee. And someone speaking from the Judiciary Committee, a staffer, said many of our members are pretty outraged. They're trying to understand the committee's clear jurisdiction, as the debate we're having is on civil liberties and constitutional rights. That's correct. See, the Intelligence Committee has really been the cheerleaders, as they point out in the article, for the NSA. These are people like Mike Rogers, who heads the committee. He is the person who is writing this bill that is supposedly a reform. Remember that the FISA bill of 1978 was actually a reform itself originally. It was supposed to rein in an out-of-control CIA in the wake of the Church Committee hearings that showed the abuses that were going on there. And so now they say they're going to reform this with a bill that's been written by Mike Rogers. The Intelligence Committee is not the committee that's looking at civil liberties and legalities constitutionally, whether it's being done correctly or not. They're the ones that are trying to aid the NSA and aid the CIA, giving them funding, giving them actually cheerleading. We have people who are supporting it. Look at these supporters. Peter King, Michelle Bachmann, John Boehner, and of course, Mike Rogers. Representative Gerald Nadler on the Judiciary Committee issued a statement yesterday saying he was deeply concerned that today, for what appears to be the first time ever, a FISA reform bill has been sent to the House Intelligence Committee first. Now, another reason to cut this out of the Judiciary Committee is that they have a rival bill, the USA Freedom Act. That bill is being supported by people who really do believe in civil liberties and the rule of law. That's people like Rand Paul, Democrats Ron Wyden, and Mark Udall. Now, it's not just the false bill from the intelligence agency. We now see in California, a very revealing sting by the FBI. This is an anti-gun state representative who's been caught running guns in an FBI sting. Very reminiscent of Fast and Furious, or as I like to call it, False and Furious. California State Senator Leland Yee, a Democrat, was arrested Wednesday at his home in San Francisco. This year, pay attention to what he did here. He introduced two gun control bills. One of them, Senate Bill 108, would have required the Justice Department to study local safe storage ordinances to prevent children from getting access to their parents' weapons. Another one, Senate Bill 47, would have expanded California's ban on assault weapons to include semi-automatics, centerfire rifles, and pistols with the ability to accept detachable magazines. Now, those aren't going to go anywhere. But look at what this guy said when he was as part of the FBI sting, when they were talking to him. He said, do I think we can make some money here? He says, yeah, I think we can make some money. Do I think we can get the goods? Yeah, I think we can get the goods. People want to get whatever they want to get. Do I care? No, I don't care. People need certain things. Well, what kind of things was he going to provide to people? He was going to provide arms dealers with and undercover federal agents with weapons like M16s and rocket launchers. Yeah, you need a rocket launcher? I don't care. You know, people need things. What do they need them for? Well, they need them to start small wars in small countries, maybe wars in big countries. Now, we also see another dishonest reform being put forth in the Senate. This one is the SHIELD law that's being put out by Chuck Schumer. And we had a pushback on that today from the number two Republican, Senator Cornyn from Texas. Now, this has a lot to do, I'm sure, with the fact that he's running for re-election in 2016. But at least he's on the right side on this. We'll take whatever we can get. The number two Republican in the Senate is lambasting a media shield law proposed by New York Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer. He said, this is a bad idea whose time has not come. Now listen to this. This is not only being called a shield law, but it's being called the Free Flow of Information Act. The Free Flow of Information Act. That lets you know that it is anything but the free flow of information. And listen to the way Cornyn described what it's really about. He said, they want to pick and choose which journalists are covered. He said, in other words, if you're a blogger, they might not cover you. But if you work for the New York Times, they might. Yeah, that's emphasis on the might. If you want to try to exchange your journalistic freedom and your freedom of speech for protection by a few licensed journalists, that's what this bill is about. That's what Chuck Schumer is putting forth. And we need to look at what the mainstream media is providing for us. What are these official journalists that the government, people like Chuck Schumer, love so much? Well, you can see it at MSNBC. But the public isn't paying much attention. Look at what's happening over there. An article from Paul Joseph Watson points out that MSNBC is losing another quarter of its viewers, totally in free fall, just like CNN. Nielsen Media Research data shows that the biggest decline came at MSNBC, which lost nearly a quarter of its primetime audience. In total, the combined viewership of all three major cable news channels, Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC, they've dropped 11% to its smallest audience since 2007. Now, they're really in free flow. Look at this. Just in November of last year, CNN and MSNBC had lost nearly half of their audience over the previous 12 months, with the two networks losing 59%, that's CNN, and 52% MSNBC, especially in the crucial demographics that they're looking at here. Well, what's a beleaguered dinosaur media outlet like MSNBC going to do about this? Well, one of the things they can do is try to copy the true media. You know, we did have a report from Rachel Maddow recently questioning the fact that the FBI has exonerated itself in all 150 shootings. There are 150 to zero, as she pointed out. And also questioning what's going on with Ibrahim Todashev. He was a friend of one of the alleged Boston bombers. And of course, he was picked up by the FBI, shot six times, once in the back of the head, execution style. So that was a pretty glaring example. And I guess she thought she would try the truth for a while and see if she could get some traction from it. But this is how they're really trying to push back against authentic media. Take a look at this hit piece from Chris Hayes at MSNBC.
It is so rare when a politician just lets loose with absolutely justifiable profanity. Because you know who Rhode Island State Senator Joshua Miller was telling to F himself? He's this guy. Remember last year when press conferences about the horrible Boston Marathon bombing tragedy kept getting interrupted by a conspiracy theorist yelling about a false flag? There is something sort of clarifying when that guy, when InfoWars and the RNC are the 1-2 punch defending the Second Amendment.
There you go. InfoWars is just a conspiracy website. No, actually, it's a news website, unlike MSNBC. And it also has a much higher rating, even if you just look at the website aspect of it. Look at the Alexa ratings. We have MSNBC at 544, but InfoWars is much higher, 356. If you look at the global reach of websites, they're down at 2252, we're at 1296. But then, of course, we have talk radio. And of course, if you look at talk radio, it's a much larger audience than cable news. If you compare their primetime audience to Alex's radio show, Alex's radio show is about 10 times the size. But let's look at their comments. He says it was a justifiable response when Dan Bedondi asked the state senator about the constitutionality and he said, F you, that's justifiable? That's kind of like when Pelosi was asked about the constitutionality of Obamacare and she said, are you serious? Yeah, we're actually serious. We're serious about whether or not these things are constitutional. But that means, are they legal or not? That's a real discussion that we need to have. And Dan Bedondi is not afraid to have that discussion. He puts a clip up of him doing a radio broadcast for his independent internet show in his basement. But, you know, he may not have a fancy set like Chris Hayes, but he's not afraid to go after the truth. That's why MSNBC is losing their audience. You know, there's an F word that I'm not afraid to use. I'm going to use it right now on the air. Okay, actually two F words. One of them is a five letter, the other is four letter. False flag. That's something that the mainstream media is afraid to talk about. Look at this report from Paul Joseph Watson. The media buries a bombshell admission of Turkish government planning a false flag attack. Listen to what Paul had to say about this.
Well, in case you missed it, a huge story emerged today. Leaked audio tape between key Turkish military and political leaders discussing plans to stage a false flag attack. I'll make up a cause of war by ordering a missile attack on Turkey. This is a Turkish military leader speaking. We can also prepare an attack on Suleiman Chartoum if necessary. It's a direct cause of war. I mean, what we're doing, going to do is a direct cause of war. So this is a bombshell, classic, caught red-handed admission of false flag terrorism, pre-planning false flag terrorism to justify an attack on Syria. It's brazen, it's in your face. So how did the mainstream media respond to this massive story. Remember, this is the admission of a false flag attack in order to create a war with Syria. So how did the BBC describe it? They said it was a discussion of possible military operations in Syria. No mention of the false flag plan, no mention of the plan to attack themselves, blame Al-Qaeda, and then invade Syria. How did CNN describe the leaked audio tape in which Turkish military officials brazenly discussed false flag terrorism? They described it as Turkish officials discussing military strategies for Syria.
That's right, it's pretty ridiculous. You need to see that entire clip. We don't have time to run it in the news. It's an almost 8-minute clip. But there were some other clips in there. Let me just read you a couple of things that he highlighted there. The Washington Post headline was, Turkey moves to block YouTube, but attempt fails. And they say, the four are allegedly heard discussing a military intervention. See, that's what they call it instead of a false flag attack. Reuters says, Turkey says Syria security leak is villainous as YouTube is blocked. Says they even leaked a national security meeting, said the Turkish official at a campaign rally. He said, this is villainous and dishonest. And the LA Times says the Turkish government blocks YouTube after recording is leaked. And again, they take the angle, eavesdropping on a top secret meeting and leaking recordings is a wretched attack and a grave offense on national security. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that the way the U.S. government reacts to WikiLeaks documents coming out, to Snowden documents coming out? Isn't that what they always do? They attack the person who is exposing the criminal activity and ignoring the criminal activity, not talking about that. That's the way you see Mike Rogers and others talking about these NSA leaks. They attack the person who is blowing the whistle on criminal activity, and they ignore what's going on with it. But that's why mainstream media, whether it's newspapers or whether it's MSNBC and CNN, that's why everybody is losing their audiences, because they're afraid to go where the truth is. They're afraid to talk about false flags. This is not something new. This is something that's been going on a long time. We see this with the Gladio attacks. That was based in Turkey. That was something that NATO was running. They were using false flag attacks there. They were setting up false terrorist events. And that was based out of NATO and Italy. They're trying to do anything they can. And Turkey is their last gasp result to try to get something going in Syria. And as we pointed out earlier this year, look at this article from March 5th. We said, order out of chaos, Gladio snipers began killings in Kiev. Same sort of thing. We see exactly the same types of tactics being used by NATO and by the U.S., these false flag attacks. We also had a report last summer, just as they were trying to start the war in Syria, at that time they were trying to use the narrative of the chemical attacks, and they were trying to blame that on Syria. But as we pointed out, rebels admitted responsibility for chemical weapons attack. That was an August 30, 2013 report from Paul Joseph Watson. And we also pointed out that in previous chemical attacks, the UN, Russia, and even U.S. intelligence had identified those chemical attacks, those sarin gas attacks, as being homemade attacks. But they keep using the same tactics, the same strategies. Finally today, there's one last piece of news here. Very unusual circumstance, but it also ties into something that we're concerned about, and that's future false flag attacks. You know that Obama spoke of what his real concern was, a nuke going off in an American city like New York. And of course, then they pull back bomb detectors out of New York in response to that. Even though that's their biggest concern, they pull bomb detectors out of that. And we've exposed how there have been some missing nukes out of Dyess Air Force Base. Nukes that were not even supposed to be in Dyess Air Force Base. Now we see even more commanders being fired as part of the Nuclear Missile Command. The Air Force fired 9 mid-level nuclear commanders Thursday and will discipline dozens of junior officers at a nuclear missile base in response to an exam cheating scandal that spanned a far longer period than originally reported. Air Force officials called the moves unprecedented in the history of the Intercontinental Ballistic Missile Force. That's right, we've seen a lot of very unprecedented firings of senior personnel, especially around the nuclear missile force, but throughout the military, high-ranking officials being removed at an amazing rate. And so that bears watching. Now, right after the break, we're going to be back with some breaking news about another false flag. Of course, the biggest false flag of them all, 9/11. There was breaking news today on Alex Jones's radio show with Max Keiser. We're going to have that for you right after the break.
Globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. The key is to be aware of this attack and to fight back against it. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula, sourced from powerful organic herbs harvested around the planet and then concentrated for maximum potency. I've always believed in nutrition and herbs. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality and other powerful products from InfoWars Life. Introducing Pro One, all of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Well, welcome back. Now, as we pointed out in the first segment of the show, we've had some amazing news today. We had a state senator in California who is a major gun control advocate caught selling guns, even rocket launchers, in an FBI sting. Now, of course, unlike Eric Holder and the ATF's Fast and Furious, or I should say False and Furious, he'll probably be going to jail. There doesn't seem to be any chance that they're going to go to jail. We also had a case where the Turkish government was caught red-handed plotting a false flag attack, firing missiles on its own people so that they could start a war with Syria. And, of course, we've seen that happening all last summer. They were trying to start a war with Syria. But today on the Alex Jones Show, Max Keiser was a guest, and he pointed out some interesting facts about 9/11. Here's what he had to say.
And this book called The Death of Money by Jim Rickards explains in great detail. He is an eyewitness who was there in the room while the CIA was monitoring insider trading on the airline options leading up to the days leading up to 9/11. I'm here to confirm that the CIA was trading on insider information against the deaths of many Americans on that day. And I'm here to confirm that Cantor Fitzgerald was also trading on those options against themselves. To talk about suicide bankers, Alex, these bankers were trading on their own death. So is it any surprise now that so many bankers are committing suicide? They're psychopaths. We saw it on 9/11. We see it on every day on Wall Street. Bankers committing financial terrorism. They trade on their own death. They trade on other brokers' death.
You know, Max Keiser, I've got to stop you. This is bombshell. I didn't know that you would break this here today. I want to just stop you. We're going to have to do a nightly news piece on this tonight and pull out all the original articles because I covered it at the time.
Now, to repeat the key point, Max Keiser said that he has an eyewitness who is actually in the room as the CIA was profiting from insider trading and planning insider trading associated with 9/11. Now, this is not new news. It's new that we have an eyewitness report, but as Alex pointed out, this is something we've been reporting on for a long time. Look at this story from 2006. New James Bond film highlights 9/11 insider trading. In a movie, they say when they analyzed the stock market after 9/11, the CIA discovered there had been massive shortings of airline stocks. When the stocks hit bottom, somebody made a fortune. Yeah, well, what they didn't do in the movie was actually tie that back to the CIA and the FBI, but other people did. We had this article from April of 2008. And actually, this was a transcript as well as an interview with a former German defense minister who confirmed the CIA involvement as he was talking to Alex Jones. He had worked for 25 years in politics, and he said he was a minister of technology before he was their secretary of defense. Then in 2009, we had an article about a rogue trader that highlighted the possible 9/11 and 7/7 UK insider tradings. According to an article in the London Times today, Societe Generale rogue trader profited enormously on the day of the 7/7 London bombings, and he also revealed how his company made huge profits on September 11th, 2001, prompting some to return to questions over insider foreknowledge of both terror attacks. Again, in 2010, we pointed out that the SEC said the government destroyed documents regarding pre-9/11 put options. That's where people were selling the stocks short, especially of the airlines. Again, on 2012, 9/11 insider trading, the facts laid bare. This is from Global Research. They say, arguably the best place to start is by examining put options, which occurred around Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, to an abnormal extent, and at the beginning via software that played a key role, the Prosecutor's Management Information System, abbreviated as PROMIS. And then finally, this last one that I've got here, and there have been many, many articles, and of course, that we wrote about it even before the first one of 2006. This one just last year. Did the Saudi intelligence chief and other high-ranking officials trade on inside information regarding 9/11? And they point out that several financial economic experts, and they list them there, say that there was insider trades right before 9/11 by people who knew the attacks were coming, who had no conceivable ties to Al-Qaeda, according to the 9/11 Commission. Now, the 9/11 narrative, as we all know, whether you believe it was insider knowledge, whether you believe it was planned by criminal elements of our government or not, you know that they have used this as a narrative to steal our freedoms, to create a police state, a surveillance state. And this is what Donald Rumsfeld had to say about this.
Politically, what do those challenges turn into if you're not going to have a lot of sympathetic ears out there? Until it happens.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I mean, this president's pretty much a victim of success. We haven't had an attack here in 5 years. Help. The perception of threat is so low in the society today. Yeah. That it's not surprising that the behavior pattern reflects a low threat assessment. And the same thing is in Europe. There's a low threat perception. The correction for that, I suppose, is an attack. And when that happens, then everyone gets energized for another period. And it's a shame we don't have the maturity to recognize the seriousness of the threats. My God, the invalidity, the carnage that should be imposed on our society is so real and so present and so serious that you'd think we'd be able to understand it. But as a society, obviously, the longer you get away from 9/11, the less the correction for that, I suppose, is an attack.
Yes, false flag attacks like 9/11 are key to setting up the excuse for the surveillance state, to make people think that they can trade their freedom and get security in the bargain. But of course, once they establish that, they also have to condition us to live in that surveillance state. Right after the break, Leanne McAdoo interviews John Rappaport about how they try to condition us to live in that surveillance state. Stay tuned.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Block It Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own Detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Today I'm going to be speaking with John Rappaport. He is a regular contributor to InfoWars.com. He is the author of two explosive books, The Matrix Revealed and Exit from the Matrix. He was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. He's been an investigative journalist for more than 30 years covering politics and health. And you can read more of his work at nomorefakenews.com. Let's welcome John. Well, John, thank you so much for being here today. I'm a huge fan of your work.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
We've got so much to cover today, so we'll just get right into it. Let's talk about one of your latest articles. Reveals MK Ultra mind testing on jazz musicians.
Yeah, pretty fantastic. This was at the U.S. Narcotics Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. I was actually in New York in the 40s and 50s when jazz musicians would get busted for drugs. They would either be sent to Lexington, Kentucky, or they would volunteer to go. And supposedly they were drying out from their drug habits. But actually what was going on was that there was a doctor on CIA contract there named Harris Isbell. And he was doing some pretty grisly experiments in mind control with drugs on these prisoners and presumably on some of the musicians, including, for example, giving seven men LSD at four times the normal dose for 77 days straight. And also giving psilocybin by injection, shining bright lights in their eyes, inserting rectal thermometers to monitor body temperature and so on. And then the payoff for this whole thing was, if the musicians volunteered for the experiments, they would be given access to their drug of choice.
Wow.
So in other words, they would get hooked back on whatever the drug was that got them there in the first place. So this is completely insane. Isbell was sent over 800 drugs from the CIA to try out on prisoners at the Lexington Farm.
Incredible. And we are always talking about the CIA being behind a lot of the drug running here, although they want to have the war on drugs. But so it's no secret that the music industry is a, you know, a tool of the New World Order. Is there any kind of indication of what sort of effect this testing had on their music?
Hard to say, but I'm sure it wrecked the lives of a number of these people and made them vulnerable to all sorts of nefarious outside influences or influences within the industry and so forth. There was a very strict code in New York City, which was the center of jazz back in the 40s and 50s. You had to have what was called a cabaret card in order to perform at any club, And if you were busted for drugs, including even marijuana, they could take your cabaret card away from you, and then you couldn't perform live, which was a big part of your, you know, livelihood. So there was control being exerted in all manner of ways to destroy individual lives, which, you know, talk about the New World Order. That's part and parcel of the whole thing. How can we take artists and make them into victims? How can we destroy their lives? How can we pervert their output?
Exactly, because they're reaching the masses, and so how can you sort of control their message, make them susceptible to the CIA's message of mind control, for instance?
Exactly. And also, because artists are really the leaders in society, they come up with the new ideas, the new images, the new poetry of the future, so to speak. So if you can turn these artists into, you know, minor versions of themselves, if you can repress them, if you can distort what they have to say, then you put society at a standstill. There is no real mental, emotional progress.
Right, exactly. And we've heard many times about, you know, the CIA co-opting big movements and revolutions and sort of taking them over to control the masses and control anyone that would speak out against what's going on. Just unbelievable. That's a really great article. But I want to switch gears now to something new that you're working on, The Magician Awakens. There you talk about guilt, sin, and mind control, and how we're seeing things like slogans, political correctness. You know, obviously we talk a lot about how they are race baiting and using racism, denying the existence of the individual, that these are all signs of guilt and things like that being used to build the society of the future. Can you expand on that?
It certainly is. And I use the example of the novel and the movie A Clockwork Orange, Stanley Kubrick's movie, Anthony Burgess's novel, in which you have a violent, vicious young criminal who is the symbol of society's, you know, in heavy quotes, problem. In other words, crime, the prisons are full. What are the leaders going to do about all of this? And so they come up with a plan for aversion therapy to literally inflict tremendous guilt and a sense of disgust and repulsion in this young criminal at the very thought that he might do something wrong. And of course they frame it as, well, this is going to solve the problem of crime. So if we exert this vicious kind of mind control on people to keep them from being criminals, and if we insert instead a huge amount of guilt inside them, that's fine, that's good, that's okay, because then we'll have a peaceful society. And that's kind of been the watchword of, you know, the Roman Church going way, way back, the Inquisition. The whole idea was, in order to keep people in the fold, we have to make them feel that they are completely guilty, that they have no life other than what we give them, and no hope and no future for themselves. They have to become part of the, you know, the audience of the system, and never an individual with his own free thoughts. So now we see that in terms of science. Now we see that in heavy quote science. Now we see that in terms of how can we reprogram the human race so that there will be no more suffering, crime, war, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So to a lot of people, this looks like a great idea. Oh, we're going to eliminate all that and we'll have a very peaceful society. But that's because more and more people have lost completely the idea that there is such a thing as the individual, that the individual is free, that the individual has choice, that any of this is important. It's all about the collective, the group, and so on, the mass. And that's why these mind control programs have a real chance of taking over society completely because they promise peace, security, and all of that sort of thing.
Exactly. And we, you know, we see that with Agenda 21, and it's all, you know, man is the plague. Man must be wiped out or changed completely. Man needs saving. And we've got this article up on InfoWars today. It talks about the Vatican and the Vatican astronomers that are now on this search to find our extraterrestrial brother, basically saying that aliens might be the savior of the human race because perhaps these extraterrestrials are the unfallen of God's creation, whereas humans and our original sin, you know, we are the fallen. And so maybe once we find these saviors somewhere out there, they can rewrite everything, history as we know it, basically. What do you think about this coming out of the Vatican?
Mind-boggling. Preposterous, you know, lunatic. It's this idea that we want to emphasize how downtrodden and downfalling and guilty earthlings are. So we'll prop up this fantasy about extraterrestrials out there who are, you know, as you say, our saviors, untouched by sin. I mean, this is just bad science fiction, but they're promoting it as something real in order to emphasize once again that no one on earth really has any sort of free will because everyone is just guilty, 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 guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere in outer space, no doubt, this is what we've been looking for all along. It also seems to justify their astronomy program.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what lies behind this, really, is that the Vatican is very nervous about the actual possibility of extraterrestrial contact because it would shoot a lot of holes in their doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So they would like to try to control this operation and spin it. And this is their latest spin on it.
Right, and they're even saying that perhaps if we do find the extraterrestrial brother, that we might have to rewrite everything that we think that we know, even leaving the door open for saying they are wrong, and what they've been teaching, you know, all these years could possibly be wrong. I mean, it's just incredible to me to think, and it also kind of makes me think about when Ronald Reagan, I think it was Reagan, said something about that if we had an attack from outer space, that would be the thing that would bring us together globally.
Yeah, that's also always lurking in the background.
Right.
That's the idea that if we could have or stage, you know, as a fake, some sort of invasion from outer space, then planet Earth would all come together. Everybody would realize that we have a common goal and that we must pull together in order to survive. And this is yet one more, you know, operation very much like Agenda 21. The planet is one thing. Everyone is everyone else. Everyone is all together. There are no separate individuals. That's just completely obsolete. And now we have to join as one homogeneous meltdown mass and follow our leaders, who will take us to, you know, the promised land or will save us from extinction in this case. It's just another prop job to try to convince everybody that there is no individuality anymore. There is no freedom. There is only the group, the collective. That's what that is.
Exactly. We're the lost sheep of the universe and we need saving. another article that I really tend to agree with this, I've been bringing this point up a lot with the NSA and how I feel like this slow drip of the NSA information, just every few months keeping it in the news. While it's good that it keeps it in the news, at the same time, it's almost just acclimating us to constant surveillance. And one of your articles sort of talks about the NSA as a form of social engineering.
Yeah, I think this is very important for people to understand. I'll try to boil it down. Let's suppose that the NSA, as we all know now, is doing all of this surveillance and spying on everybody all the time. It has nothing to do with stopping terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
But none of us knew that. Nobody knew about it, you see. So we would go on our merry way saying what we want to say, living our lives, and so on and so forth. That doesn't work for the NSA or the surveillance state. We have to know that we're being spied on in order for that to become a form of social engineering. And we have to know it every day, every week, every month, a new revelation, and so forth and so on. That introduces and reinforces time and time again with people the idea that they have to watch what they're saying, they have to watch what they do, they have to watch even what they think, as a continuing operation, an operation to keep pressing on the public the knowledge that, yes, yes, they're being spied on, they're being spied on. And that's what this drip method of release of the Snowden files is doing to people. It's just acclimating them, and I see it all the time around me, people becoming more cautious, more conformist. Well, I better not say that, although that's what I really think. I better not maybe go to that website. Ooh, I don't know, maybe. I better not make that phone call. That's all social engineering. That's from the top. And the surveillance state, really, half of it is letting people know that this is going on all the time so that people will conform. They'll become androids and robots. That's that story.
And I tend to agree. It's so hard for me to put that into words, and that's one of the reasons why I could not wait to get you on to sort of talk about this, because I feel like we're at this crossroads where human beings, we could take all of this information and become aware and awake and break free of all of these shackles. But at the same time, I feel like the machine is sort of using this awareness, and really almost like a quickening is happening, where this awareness is actually now assimilating us into the reality they've been trying to create this whole time.
No question about it. Absolutely. And there is this tipping point. I mean, we're there. People have to make a choice. Do you want to be free? I don't care what political party or affiliation or, you know, political slogans you may have drifting around in your mind. Do you want to be a free individual who's independent? Or do you want to be part of the mass where individuality is erased as a concept? Oh, yes, we needed that in our evolution, but we don't need that anymore. All of that kind of stuff. People have to make that choice, and they're being driven to it. And the whole basis of my work is to illustrate to people that the individual is not only essential and free and independent, but actually has tremendously more power than he thinks he has. Mm-hmm. And he has to access that power and use it. And that's the tipping point that we're at. People go this way or they go that way.
Exactly. Well, we are out of time, but is there anything, any kind of last words or anything you kind of want to let people know about that you're working on?
Well, I'm working on a piece now that's a follow-up to A Clockwork Orange, and it's exploring Huxley's A Brave New World novel with some quotes that I've never seen from it before or don't remember when I read it a couple of times years ago, but very much on the subject of mind control, drugs, the future, genetic engineering, and so forth, which I think are very eye-opening now because we're in that age. I mean, we're there. So that'll be the next pop on my website.
Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to that. And thank you so much for everything you're doing. Like I said, I love your work, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here with you.
Well, there you have it. The choice is ours. Will we wake up in this awareness and actually affect change, or will we just assimilate into complacency and revel in our own surveilled slavery? The choice is ours, the red or the blue pill. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. We'll see you here again at 7 p.m. Central.
The
facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.